I like what Mr. Babcock said. This is my Father's world. Don't let me forget, though the wrong seemed off so strong, God is the ruler yet. It's a wonderful knowledge to have this morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being here. It is a beautiful day that the Lord's given to us. Amen? You're alive. You're breathing. That ought to make it a beautiful day. And you're smiling. That makes it even better. And by faith, some of you are smiling inside. That's how I'll just leave it at that. Thank you for being here this morning. I invite you to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Let me thank you ahead of time for your kindness. Multiple ways. We've been privileged to travel all over the place and be in different locations, meals and goodies and snacks for the kids, primarily for the kids. My wife ate some of them. I didn't eat any of them, but no, I'm kidding. We thank you for that. And the offering for the children, for that matter, for us, thank you so much for your kindness. It has been a privilege to be here, and it's always wonderful to come up here. My only complaint so far is we've just been going enough, that I haven't gone out there to see all those ships coming in from everywhere else. And you're used to that, and it's not a big deal to you, but in Indiana, we don't have anything more than a 25-foot speedboat, and so it's kind of neat when you see something 700 and some feet long come floating down the river and or up the river or whichever way it's headed. And we did go out one night after service, and I knew there was something coming in, and so I said, let's go. And they didn't come from anywhere far, just from Canada. So they didn't have a whole long way to travel. I know, from one end to the other, I realize. But there was one from Hong Kong going through, and that was, anyway, so maybe we'll get that done before we leave Monday morning. Kind of doubt it. That's tomorrow, that's right. And the school teacher is very stickler on my children getting their work done, so that may not happen. Luke chapter 19, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. And he was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Even the Bible, in some ways, is politically correct. You like that? He was short. Little of stature. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood, we're now in his house. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That is one of the scriptures, in my simple opinion, that ranks right up with probably the most familiar verse, at least one of the most familiar verses in the Bible, John 3:16. So many people know it. This is the whole gospel in a nutshell. Jesus is come to seek to save that which was lost. Jesus went through Jericho to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus is passing by Messina Pilgrim Holiness Church to seek and to save that which is lost. It's what he came to do. Hallelujah. That includes you this morning. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to be here. And thank you for your word. Please bless it and use it to encourage us. Use it to challenge us. Use it to draw us nigh to thee. We pray in your name. Amen and amen. You will never get to Jesus being big. Now immediately I will qualify that. That is not a reference to size or stature, but rather to a case of a mistaken importance. To presume that we will have access to Jesus just because of the clout that we have or we do not have. Because the talents that we possess, perhaps the money in the bank account, the looks that are our own. You cannot get to Jesus because of the name that you've made for yourself. The songwriter said he will not ask who you are. He's not going to ask where you've been, the places you've filled. It's not possible, it is impossible to come to Jesus Christ on human statuses. Probably one of the greatest attributes of the Christian life is that of humility. When Jesus saves us, he gives us an understanding of who we are. And certainly who we are not. And so coming to Jesus is not going to be a matter because you've gained some important clout in this world or what this world would call important. We all come to Jesus, rich or poor, good looking or not so good looking, small or not so small, talented or maybe not as talented. We all come on level footing. Another songwriter said, the ground is level at Calvary. Zacchaeus was not the normal IRS agent. As a matter of fact, Scripture tells us that he was chief among the agents. He was a chief publican. He had position. He had power. He had connection with Rome. He was the type of fellow that when he said boo, you jump whether you're scared or not. If he were to tell a joke, you laugh if it's funny or not. That's just the kind of person he was. Great power. You see, if you didn't do those things, he might tack on an extra 5% to your tax bill. Just because you looked at him funny. It's not very often, but particularly in the New Testament, we are given a description of anybody as far as their wealth. Every once in a while, yes. But here it's noted. Now we can surmise things just context to Scripture, but to actually be noted that he was a rich man, it's not something that is common. But Zacchaeus, the description of him, are introduced to him as being a man who was rich, which tells us this morning that he was a very wealthy individual. Normally he would have been given the place of honor. As I already stated, either out of fear or just because he was a wealthy individual or he had the position, he had the connections, and so he would be ushered to the place of honor, the seat that would be honorable. But when it came to Jesus, it gained him nothing. He couldn't flash his IRS badge and say, I want through. He couldn't pull out his wallet and pull out several hundred bills and say, let me in. Call up the great Caesar and have audience with Jesus. None of it worked. You see, he couldn't come to Jesus on his own clout. Neither can you and I. I wonder sometimes if we tout a religious resume and expect God to show up just because we have. I wonder how often we make our way to the house of God and expect God to be there. Now, I know the Scripture says where two or three are gathered, and sometimes we stop right there. What the rest of that verse says is in His name. You see, you cannot gather in His name if you're living for yourself. The only way that you can achieve the presence of God, that you may have the presence of God, is if you're coming specifically on purpose, seeking for it. We are not good enough. Perhaps we've decided that our religious activity has made us good enough. The world is really, really bad, and I'm not as bad as they are, so therefore I'm good enough. Or I've been on this way, some people might say in the way, a long time, and so I'm good enough. Friend, you're not, our pastor already mentioned this morning, we need to recognize our unworthiness before God. It's nothing that we have obtained and nothing that we have gained. No influence that we have or do not have that gains us access to Jesus Christ. We must come to Jesus as equals. Sitting behind his desk, knocking on the door with his pad of paper and pen, gained him entrance, Zacchaeus entrance into a lot of places, but it did nothing for him when it talked about coming to Jesus. And so someone might say very quickly, that means that perhaps the rich, the famous, the talented, the good looking, those with resources, you mean they can't make it to Jesus? No, that's not what I'm saying. They must come to Jesus. You must come to Jesus. I must come to Jesus. All on equal footing, we all get to Jesus the very same way. Whether you have $1 million in your bank account or you have $1 in your bank account, or maybe your bank account's negative right now. I don't know. Whether you're the picture of perfect health or whether your health is dismally good. I mean, really dismally good. Friend, it doesn't matter. You all come to Jesus on the same level. You want access to Jesus this morning. It's not a matter of flashing out your wallet or your credit card. It's not a matter of giving all the talent you have. It's a matter of coming in lowliness of heart. That's the only way that you can get to Jesus. Zacchaeus took the approach that every single one of us have to take. If you please, we could very easily call this message a small man's approach to Jesus. And once again, I will say to you, I'm not referring to his stature. I'm not referring to how tall or big he was. It was his place, his attitude. That was the position of his spirit, of his heart. So let's look at that for a moment this morning. First of all, he had a desire to see Jesus. Rather simplistic, I realize that, but this is where it all comes down to. He had a desire to see Jesus. Spiritual victory will rise or fall at the feet of your desire. Your desire guides your direction. We don't have to get out a little survey and ask a whole lot of questions about what's most important in your life. All we have to do is observe you for a while. Listen to your conversation for a while. It doesn't take very long and you suddenly realize what is the most important treasure in an individual's heart. What they will go after or what they will leave off in their life. A generic example, if I say, this is really generic, if I say that I love to shop at Walmart but I never go, or I go only once in a while, then I kind of prove that I don't really love to shop at Walmart, right? The same is also true in our spiritual life if we say that we love Jesus but we never put out an effort to find him, to seek him. Can we truly say that we love Jesus? Spiritual victory will rise and fall at the feet of your desire. We all know that we need to see Jesus. Over and over again, I've heard the statement, it's probably slipped out of my mouth even this week. You'll hear people make the statement something to this effect, we need revival, we need to see the Lord move, we need that. We all know what we need. The question is, do we have a desire to go after the fulfillment of that need, to find that Jesus meets that need? Or are we satisfied just to simply say, oh people, we need Jesus? Or is there a desire deep down in our heart that will cause us to be proactive in our actions to seek after Jesus? That's exactly what Zacchaeus did. He had a desire to see Jesus. How do you know that? Because he sought Jesus out. It was not an accidental interaction. Jesus is walking down the street. Zacchaeus is walking down the street. Oh, hey, good. I've been wanting to meet you. No, no, my friend. That's not how it turned out. I don't know where Zacchaeus was in Jericho, but he wasn't where Jesus was at the time. And so he had to go to where Jesus was. It was no accident. He was putting forth an effort. Which means you and I are going to have to put forth an effort. If you will see Jesus, it's not a spiritual osmosis because you sit in the same seat you sit in every Sunday morning. I already told you, I know it's the seat you sit in. Your indentions there. Just floating into church does not make you one that seeks after God. Thank God you're in church this morning, and I appreciate that. But it's going to take a proactive part of us to do more than just sit in a pew, to seek after Jesus. We can presume some things changed in Zacchaeus' life in that seeking after Jesus. As well, it will for you and for me. Some things he stopped doing. This is deep, profound stuff. When you start seeking after Jesus, you start going after Jesus, there's some things you'll stop doing. Say, come on, Brother Cassidy, how do you know? The scripture doesn't say that. Well, we know he's a tax collector. Tradition, history tells us that a tax collector did not sit behind a big desk with a telephone and an internet connection back during Jesus' day. No, they had to get out and go hoof it, if you please. It was a door-to-door. Yeah, he probably had a desk, and probably people would come into it, but many times it's a matter of walking the streets, finding the people that owed you taxes, and collecting. Okay. So here this man is doing his job. Probably out knocking on doors someplace or hassling a market person. And then he hears that Jesus is down the road. Is it too obvious? Is it too simplistic to understand that suddenly he stops hassling that market vendor to go find Jesus? What am I saying? There's some things he stopped doing. There's probably other things that he started doing. Things became that he was normally used to, conniving and cheating is the reputation that he had, and trying to get the best people, one up on somebody. He knew they didn't like him, and so he might as well fulfill his satisfaction some other way. Trying to do that, my friend, became less important to him than seeing this man, Jesus. And so now, looking down his list and seeing what door is next, he's now put the list in his pocket, and he's looking to find the crowd. Some things he stopped doing, some things he started doing. You can call it generic if you want to, but I'm convinced if we're going to see Jesus this morning, it's going to have to come on his terms where there's some points of our life we're going to have to leave off. There's other things that we're going to have to start doing. It is simplistic, I understand that, but we're talking about seeking out Jesus. His passions change. And ours will as well. And seeking out Jesus, his desire to see Jesus caused him to make some calculated decisions. It was not a last minute type of a thing. Oh, I think I'll jump up in this sycamore tree. He's trying to press through the crowd to get in to see Jesus, and they wouldn't let him through. No Roman weight's going to help you here, buddy. Get back. And so here Zacchaeus is. You read it. You realize the context. You follow the thought process through. Zacchaeus realized if Jesus is walking down this road, that means he's going to pass by a certain place. I know that there's a sycamore tree there. I can run to that sycamore tree. I'll climb up in the sycamore, and Jesus will pass right under where I'm at. That's exactly the context of this story. He made a calculated decision that he might interact with Jesus. It's not rocket science to us this morning, my friend. If you want to see Jesus, it's going to be a matter of calculated decisions. I know this is what Jesus wants. I know he doesn't want this. I desperately want to. I desperately need to see Jesus. And I have a desire in my heart. Friend, it works whether we're talking to the sinner this morning that needs your spiritual need met, or we're talking to the sainted individuals that's been on the way for 50 years. Listen, you want to see Jesus? It works the very same way. We've got to make a calculated decision. This is what it takes to find Jesus real to my heart. If you're not willing to take those steps, then friend, you tell on yourself. It's not a matter of a preacher or a pastor being mean. A mean old ogre God that just won't let you do what you want to do. No. It all falls at the feet of your desire. You say, Brother Cassidy, how do I know what it takes to see Jesus? How do I know what he expects? How do I find that out? Well, really, it's quite simple. It's called the Bible. So often, we look for the simple answer. In fact, in life, it's a whole lot easier if somebody will just tell us what to do instead of trying to search it out and know it for ourselves. Let me take just a sidetrack momentarily. There was some time ago, a dear lady, it's a friend of our family's, a lady that approached my wife after a service that we were in. And she started asking her in the conversation, asking her questions concerning certain aspects of her life. And she boiled down to this. She said, I don't know if it's a carnal trait inside that I need to be sanctified, or is it a desire that the devil is just trying to pressure me? Is it right or wrong? And we walked away from the conversation, and my wife, we were leaving. I believe it was a Sunday night that we were leaving. There was not the opportunity to physically talk to this lady again. And so my wife printed out what I thought was a very good response to the lady and answering her question the best it could. The answer we gave was not it's right or it's wrong. It's a whole lot easier if somebody just tells you it's right or wrong. Instead, my wife took the time to find the scriptures that applied to that particular. Here's these scriptures, read them. What's the conclusion you come to? It's interesting, we haven't heard from that young lady since. I trust that she took the time to read the scriptures. I trust she's made a scriptural decision on it. It's a whole lot easier for some. We just come up to somebody, is this right or wrong? They said, yes, it's right. No, it's not right. And so we live our life. The problem with that is you have one person who's convinced a way of life is right or wrong. The next person who comes is convinced it's right or wrong in the opposite direction. Guess what we have? We have confusion. It's really simple, friend. Get yourself a Bible. Find the Word of God. Make sure it's a Bible that is accurate, not one that's modern and more for the itching ears of people. That's a whole different conversation that I don't have time to get into this morning. But make sure you've got your pastor knows a good Bible. Ask your pastor what Bible should be, and then read it. Do a word study. What's God say about this in my life? I'm talking about a desire to see Jesus, a calculated decision. I want to know what Jesus wants in my life, and so I'm going to take the time to study it out instead of just sitting being a spiritual floater. Zacchaeus came to Jesus, but it wasn't something that just was happened chance. It was on purpose. And whether you're living in sin this morning and you need to see Jesus, you need a change in your life, it works for you, or whether you've been on the way for some time and perhaps you're just beginning to float spiritually, it still works for you. You want to see Jesus. If you don't want to see Jesus, friend, there's really no use of you even being here this morning. Please, I'm not suggesting that you run away. That's not what I'm saying at all. Please come. I trust the Spirit of God will get to your heart. But as a Christian, when we call ourselves Christian, there ought to be a desire in our heart that runs after God. And if there's not, then we ought to spend some time praying. He had a desire to see Jesus. I notice also he decided to get above his circumstances. What's his circumstances? People didn't want him to get to Jesus. They pushed him out of the way. Said he couldn't come for the press. The press is a riotous, almost sits right on the verge of a riotous crowd that is pushing and shoving. And he's getting a lot of pushing and shoving. The other problem is he's short. He's little of stature. He can't see above the crowd. And so he decided, well, if he was like some of us, well, I guess I can't do it. So I'm just going to go home. Throw in the towel. I quit. Oh, I'm going to say it. I might get myself in trouble this morning. I'm rather amazed. Things get a little rough for somebody. They get saved. They're following after Jesus. And then something happens to disrupt their little world. They perceive, or maybe they were actually things happen to them that were not right or were not fair. And that happens all the time. I realize that. It's mind-blowing to me. I pull my hair out, and I don't have a whole lot of hair to pull out, so you know I get pretty desperate at this particular point when I'm pulling my hair out. What's mind-blowing to me is you'll have individuals that'll make the statement, well, if that's how a Christian is going to act, then I don't want to have anything to do with it, and they'll go be chums with the world who never treats anybody wrong, who never cheats anybody. Well, I'll just say my own amen because you're not going to this morning. That's all right. Sometimes, friend, it takes a little bit of getting ourselves by the nape of the neck and getting ourselves above our circumstances. Far too many let their environment dictate their living. Not only physically, but I'm talking specifically about spiritually. A little cliche, if you please, don't allow life to get in the way of living. And that can have some bad connotations, but quite frankly, sometimes the pressures, the difficulties of life, we allow that to overshadow us to the point that we just throw our hands in the air and it's, what's the use? When we're talking spiritually speaking, I've seen far too many, yes, their life has been frustrated. It goes back to the little garden of our heart type thing where Jesus talks about the rough soil, the rocky soil. When persecution arises and difficult times come, then you see those seeds wilt away. They die. The individual just gives up because they had no root in themselves. They're offended easily. Friend, if you want to see Jesus, if you have a desire to see Jesus, it's not a matter of holding your feelings on your shirt sleeve. No, no, it's a matter of getting yourself by the nape of the neck and saying, I'm going to get above my circumstances. It may not be right and it may not be fair, but I'm going to seek after God with all of my heart. He really is the only one we should be seeking after anyway. Amen. And so that's exactly what he did. It's interesting to note that his desire was strong enough that he went beyond what was expected. I don't know if you realize this, but his status would have kept him out of the tree. Rich people don't climb trees. That's just not kosher. Tax collectors, connection with Rome, no, they don't climb trees. They bully their way through. Zacchaeus got to the point that it didn't matter what anybody thought. It didn't matter what anybody said. It didn't matter what anybody else expected. Sometimes we have some expectations in our religious circles. Certain people do something. But when a person really gets to the place that they desperately want to see Jesus, the desire of their heart is to see Jesus, you're going to find out they're going to do some things out of the ordinary. And guess what? It's going to shake up the apple basket. And there may be a few apples that fall out. He had a desire to see Jesus. He decided to get above his circumstances. He descended to the reality of who he was. Jesus passed by his way that day. Jesus knew exactly where he was. Verse 5 tells us that Jesus came to the place. This thrills me. Because it tells me that God doesn't just stop by because he didn't have anything else to do. No. He knows exactly where you're at today. He knows your need today. He knows the depths of despair that you've reached today. He knows the desire of your heart today. Jesus came to the place where Zacchaeus was. And he looked up. You notice he called him by name. Not only did he know where he was, he knew who he was. Zacchaeus, you old tax collector, you. He didn't say that, but there's a lot of other people saying that. Can I tell you that Jesus knows exactly who you are this morning? It's not a matter of just knowing you were. I'm amazed. Of course, the technology is getting better, but GPS is always a very comical thing to me. You type in your little code for your GPS, and sometimes it'll end you up way out in the middle of a river. They think that you're in a river. You know, highways change all the time, roads change, and so we're traveling down the road, and this road goes this way, and I'm still going through the middle of the field. They didn't update their system yet. Or I don't have the latest map, one of the two. And so I'm rather amused. It's particularly when you get to the place that you're going down this road and suddenly your GPS says, recalculating, you need to go a different direction at your earliest opportunity, make a U-turn. They got the idea that you're in the wrong place. They have no idea where you are. But Jesus' GPS is not faulty this morning. He knows where you're at. And He knows you by name. He didn't call you by somebody else's name. Have you anybody ever heard of Jerry Jordan? Jordanaires. No? Phone call from heaven. Anybody ever hear that? Oh, there you go. Jerry Jordan is the guy that did that. I love it. One of these days, the Lord allowed, I'm going to memorize that and I'm going to do that for a sermon. I mean, it's great stuff. Many of you are familiar. It boils down to a man that gets a phone call, long-distance phone call from God. He wants his wife to answer it, but she's doing something else. And so he has to answer the phone call, and God goes all the way down through the list of things that he did or did not do. And, you know, what did the pastor preach on? And the platform, I think, that's usually where he preaches, right? And there's all kinds of, oh, you heard me say that. What do you mean in the boat Sunday morning, sir? But to get down to that whole list, Lord, I promise I'm going to do better, and I'm going to tithe 10%. Yes, 10%, Lord, and I'm going to do better about getting to church and not going to talk about my neighbors, even if they're no good. Just great spiritual stuff. But he hangs up the phone, and his wife, you can't hear her on the other end. He hangs up the phone, and it's an assumed conversation. He said, "What's that, dear?" And who was it? Apparently, she said, "Well, who? What? You wouldn't know him." He said, "But the next time the phone rings," he said, "I think you should answer it. It's probably better for you than for me." Oh, how easy is it for us to see that this truth is good for them. And the fact of the matter is, Jesus knows exactly where you are this morning, and He knows you by name. When He's knocking on your heart's door, it's not an accident. Jesus also knew where He lived. So, Zacchaeus, come on down out of the tree. We're going to your house. You say, why is that really that big of a deal? Well, it is your house where you keep all of your secrets. You say, Brother Cassidy, I don't have any secrets. I'm open and really? Let me just come to your house. How many rooms do I have to step through? Filing cabinets do I have to get into? Papers do I have to move before you say, don't touch that one? Every single one of us, I'm not saying it's necessarily sinful secrets or bad secrets, it's just there's some things that belong to us. We're personal people. Maybe it even has something to do with our past that we don't like and that we desperately don't want anybody else to know about. There's all kinds of things that we have back at our house. It's ours. We leave it there at the house because we don't want anybody else to know about it. At our house where we keep our secrets. When you come in contact with Jesus Christ, you have to face the reality of your secrets. He comes to your house. At that point, there's no door that's left closed. There's no piece of furniture that's not moved around. There's no filing cabinet that you keep closed and locked. No. When Jesus steps into your house, He goes to where your secrets are. That's a very scary thing. Particularly if you know what your secrets are. Maybe nobody else does. But the devastation of your life, the choices you've made, or the influences in your life, or whatever it may be, have led you down a path to some things being very devastating. You don't want anybody else to know about. When you come to Jesus, you have to come to grips
with the reality of who you are. Otherwise, you're not going to get any help.
I'll try to wrap it up very quickly. I referenced the other evening concerning oftentimes when we start dealing with medical things. Sorry, I know we have medical personnel in the building. But I'm going to guess that they're the very same way. So often it's a whole lot easier, unless you're just one of those type of people that likes to get doctor's attention and likes medicine. There are some people that are like that. The majority of us will do our best to avoid the doctor's office. Great people out on the street when they come to church. But quite frankly, I don't want to see you in the doctor's office or in the hospital. That's me. I would rather stay home. And you're that way too. That's the reason why that leg has been bothering you for the last 15 years and you won't see anybody about it. I mentioned our legs hanging by a sinew, and we're willing to put a Band-Aid on, it'll be okay. And some of you are guilty this morning. And while we can, it has some serious, especially if your leg's only hanging by a sinew, that's such a problem. Medical issues can have serious consequences, I understand that, but far more serious than your physical condition is that of your soul. You can cover it up. You can put the Band-Aid on it. You can make excuses. You can justify all you want. You'll never get victory in your heart until you come to grips with who you are. The beautiful end of this story this morning is Zacchaeus made a decision. Jesus came to his house. And it was very obvious to Zacchaeus before the conversation. It's interesting to me that Jesus did a lot of his spiritual work over a meal. A meal to Jesus wasn't about eating food. It was about making connections. So in the conversation with Zacchaeus over this meal, Zacchaeus suddenly realized Jesus knows more about him than what he realized. There's things that Jesus is uncovering until Zacchaeus can't do anything else but stand up in a moment of confession. Say, Lord, this is who I am. And I want to change. I want things to be different. You notice that they were. He began to testify a couple of different things. Number one, he decided to give half his goods to the poor. This is two separate things. We need to understand this. He decided to give half his goods to the poor. The second thing he did was go back and repay or make restitution four times for anything that he did wrong. Two separate things. When you get to the place that you really want Jesus, you really want Jesus, your life will be different. Then you're going to have to come to the grips with yourself and be willing to allow Jesus to change you. This statement has come up two or three times already this week, and I'm going to close with it this morning. Oftentimes in our life, we want God to change our circumstances. The truth of the matter is, we find our most surprise when He changes us instead of our circumstances. Incidentally, it's amazing how when He changes us, it changes our circumstances. Not always, but many times. I wish that we'd bow our heads this morning. It's 12 o'clock. I know that. We're going to eat momentarily. The most important thing that you can do this morning is to come to grips with who you are. The meal will taste a whole lot better. Your day will go a whole lot smoother. The only way you're going to find real victory this morning is if you come to the place and say, you know what, it's me. I do have a need. I've got a problem. And you've tried so many other avenues to fix the problem. But if you were honest this morning in perfect candor, you would say it's not worked. In some cases, it's made it worse. Jesus has passed by this morning. Verse number 10 of our scripture is so relevant right here. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's not here to damage or destroy you. He's here to fix your life. But you've got to come to grips with the life you live. No more excuses. No more justification. No more pointing fingers other places. It boils down to, friend, when it gets down to the end of all, it boils down to, I have a problem and I need Jesus. And so I want to seek Him this morning. You can do that. You can do that. If you would, I'd invite you to slip out of your seat, bow in an altar of prayer. And all you have to do, you don't have to know big fancy words. All you have to do is ask Jesus to help you with your problem. Be honest about who you are this morning, about what you are this morning. He's not here to destroy you. He's here to help you. You won't find that help unless you seek Him. Would you pray this morning? Would you like to pray? Let's stand together quietly as we can. Heavenly Father, You're here right now. And You're talking to some hearts right now. Their lives are devastated. The pastor's already mentioned that there's some heavy burdens that are being borne that nobody, perhaps nobody else, even knows about. Such is the case, the picture of many church congregations this morning. But You've chosen to come here today because You want to help somebody. You've knocked on our heart's door today, not because You got the wrong address, but because You know who we are and You know what we need. Lord, would You give the courage to somebody here this morning that wants to see things change, wants life to be different. They want the need of their heart met, the guilt to be gone, the heaviness to be gone, the conscience to be clear. They need to clear the air this morning. Help them to step out and bow at an altar of prayer this morning. We're waiting just a moment. Forgive me if it cramps your schedule, but friend, this is really what we're here about today. You have a need? Would you like to pray? He has come back to your heart again. Friend, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter what you've hidden. It doesn't matter the shipwreck, your life. Maybe even it's even small things. Jesus loves you this morning. You can change your direction. You have to start with seeking Him. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercy to us. We know that You're here and we know that You want to help, but You won't force anybody. And we can only ask that You would be merciful. Our activities this afternoon, may they honor You. Help us, Jesus, that we would do our best to be in the mind frame for the service tonight. Ready to do what Jesus wants us to. In Your name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning.